The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Blessed be God. We're grateful for what you've done, Lord Jesus. We don't sing to fulfill our righteousness. We sing because we mean what we say. We're grateful to you this morning. As a way of honoring you, we adore you. We thank you for all you've done. And we recognize that only your hands have done these things for us. And even as we expect more from you, we are grateful for the one you've done. Thank you for all things. Thank you for the victory throughout this year so far. Thank you for your mighty hand. Thank you for the blessing you are giving us on a daily as a church. We're grateful to you this morning. And we open up our hearts and this place for revelation, utterance, understanding in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, let light shine so strong that every darkness will fade away by the coming and the entrance of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Celebrate your neighbor before you have your seat. Glory to God. Have your seat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. God is good. Is that your testimony? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. So this morning, I'm, you know, continuing from where we stopped Thursday. I'm teaching on the believer's honor code. Amen. The believer's honor code. And well, like I said on Thursday, honor isn't something, you know, isn't one of those things we just teach. Honor is a major principle taught in God's word. Major. In fact, one of the ways to show that you are growing as a Christian is that you are growing in your practice of honor. One of the ways to show that you are growing as a Christian, that you are making progress in your walk with God, is that you are making progress in how you practice honor. A dishonorable person will simply be a Christian who has not been well taught. When you grow and make progress in your walk with God, you'll be an honorable person. Romans 13 verse 9 teaches us, for instance, to give honor to whom honor is due. And that simply tells you that there are people that deserve honor. Right? Is it 13 verse 9? Get that verse. There are people that deserve our honor. That's our anchor text. So we don't have to miss verse 7 rather. 13 verse 7. It says, giving honor to whom honor is due. 13 verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So there are people that deserve honor. And like I said on Thursday, it's not just what we teach when we want to talk about how to honor your pastor. No, it's beyond that. You know, honor is not just something we talk about when we say you have to honor your pastor. I gave you a list on Thursday. There are different beings and people that you must honor. For instance, we saw, for instance, on Thursday, that you must honor God. I will start with that on Thursday. There is honor that is due God. There is honor that is even due to all men. All men. There is honor that is due all saints. There is honor you owe your political leaders. There's an honor you owe your parents. There's an honor you owe your spouse. Of course, there's an honor you owe your pastor. But then we have to look at all of this holistically from the word of God. And on Thursday, we started looking at the fact that we must honor the Lord. And honoring the Lord is not just what we say. It is what we must do. We're looking at, for instance, the fact that we have to honor his name. We have to honor his name. And we saw how we must honor his name. And I showed you that there are things you can do and you'll be dishonoring the name of the Lord. You'll be dishonoring the name of the Lord. An example I gave you is when you use the name of the Lord for the purpose it was not given. Amen? That's a dishonor to the name of the Lord. So we saw all of that. You must honor the name of the Lord. You know, we saw also that another way to honor the name of the Lord is to adore Him. To adore Him. You know, to lift your hands in thanksgiving adoration. You know, Psalm 29 and verse 2 tells us to give the glory that is due God to Him. And of course, that word glory is translated from the Hebrew word kabod. That word kabod also can be translated as honor. So give unto the Lord glory due unto His name. How do you give that glory to God? Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. And so when you have this attitude of adoring God, you know, with your mouth, with fruit of your lips, you are an honorable person. You know, another way you actually honor the Lord is to thank Him for the things that He has done. To recognize that He did these things and to thank Him. That's why it is the height of dishonor for someone to say that God does not prosper people. It's the height of dishonor to God for someone to claim that whatever he got it by His own might. That's the height of dishonor. You know, honor is to recognize that everything that we have, everything that we achieve, even though we worked so hard in our own sense for it, that it was the Lord that gave it to us. That's why that song we normally sing here, you know, is very beautiful. You know, for from You are all things, and to You are all things. Everything we have came from Him. Even though we could work hard to pass our exams, we also have to recognize that He was one that aided us to pass the exams. Because if you are sincere, others would have read more than you, but they didn't do well. So you need to honor the Lord. And one of those who honor Him is to give glory to Him, recognizing the things that He has done. Well, you worked hard to make your money. Congratulations. But you must also recognize that everything we have comes from Him. You know, in the book of First Chronicles, when they gathered their gifts to build the temple, Solomon said, all these things we've gathered here came from You. So even though they were the ones that gave it, Solomon said, it came from You. In fact, Solomon said, the things You've given us, we are just giving it back to You. That's a mindset of honor. Recognize that everything we have is from the Lord. Whatever we can ever have comes from Him. And that's how to be an honorable person. That's how to honor the name of the Lord. Another way to honor the Lord, like we were looking at on Thursday, is to honor His house. To honor the church of God. To honor the house of God. You know, your attitude towards God's house is a reflection of your attitude towards the Lord. You know, you can't say, well, I honor the Lord in my heart. If you honor the Lord, it will show in how you honor His church. I give you an example, for instance, on Thursday, how that Belshazzar gathered the cups that we are to be used to serving in the temple and all of that, and started drinking with it. That was a dishonorable thing. He lost his life and his kingdom because of that. Now, God is not going to kill you, but then that shows you, that gives you where God stands in the area in things concerning honor. That you don't, even though, for instance, this building now, it's a normal building, but the day we decide that this place is going to be church, God will honor this place. He will put His honor there. Those cups they were using in the temple, we are regular cups that anyone could buy from the market. But then, those ones were selected specially for the service of God in the temple. And so when Belshazzar drank one with it, he dishonored the Lord. The Lord honors His things. I get the point. Lord honors the things You give to, the things You consecrate to Him, You honor them. That's why, for instance, you cannot come into church and just act anyhow you like. That will be a mark of dishonor to the Lord. Because whatever you consecrate to the Lord, He will honor it. And you too should honor it. Are you following what I'm talking about? So you honor the house of God. For instance, one of the major ways to honor the house of God, like I said in the first service, is that you must always be present in church. Being absent from church is one of the greatest marks of dishonor to God. I tell you how, why. Look how I explain it to you. If actually, Jesus told us, where two or more of you are gathered in My name, I am there, right? So it means this morning, God knew that we are going to be here. So He was here waiting for us. So will He come here? Now imagine your mother or your father or your governor, anybody that you respect very well, is to wait for you at a certain place. If I were you, I'll be there before Him. That shows you honor Him. So every time we come into church and we
decide to miss church because our head was turning or my clothes not ironed or I woke up and I was feeling somehow, it's a mark of dishonor to God. It means you don't value him. The person that changed my mind about this was Gloria Copeland. I said that in the first service and even on Thursday. Gloria Copeland said what changed her prayer life was the fact that she began to imagine that if she sets her prayer life for 7 a.m., that by that 7 a.m., that the Lord is already sitting waiting for her to come. So she said, missing that prayer time will be missing an appointment she has with God. And she said, that's a mark of dishonor, and I think so too. Are you following I'm talking about? That's why Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves as some manner is, as some people do. We just want to come to church when we want to. We just leave when we want to. That is one of the height of dishonor. Because God can't be sitting there waiting. You know, I said it in the first service. One of the things that's going to help you, if you're going to be an honorable person to the Lord around this church, is to always imagine, because it is true, always imagine that Jesus is sitting here waiting. Always play that in your mind. If he's sitting here waiting, you will not come in late. Or will you? Except you are very stupid. You know, his pastor met, the guy has been jobless for years. So his pastor met the governor and spoke to the governor about giving this guy a big contract. Remember this story? And the governor said, okay, fine. I'll give him the contract. All he has to do is, in fact, he has gotten the contract. Let him just come. Let me see him face to face. And they fixed an appointment. They gave him time. The pastor himself said he had no business coming, but he just had to show up to give the guy moral support. So he got to that place 30 minutes before time. A few minutes before the time, the governor came. The brother that was to give contract was not there. They waited for him. And the pastor said, he tried to, the governor said, where's your boy? He said, he's coming. So he tried to distract the governor and all of that. Took him out and said, bringing up different conversations so they can wait for this other young man to come. He did not come. They kept calling. He didn't come. Do you understand? The governor waited for like 30 minutes or more and said, well, I don't like this, but then he's your boy, so I think I would just have to go. But I'll leave the commissioner here so that when he comes, he can see the commissioner. And he left. This guy didn't still show up. The commissioner waited for like 10-45 minutes and left. The pastor said he himself was walking out of the building when he was rushing in. He said, sorry, traffic. Now that young man is the weapon fashioned against himself. Do you understand? And the pastor told him, why didn't you sleep outside the gates? For that kind of opportunity, come on, you can sleep outside the gates. You can rent out, take helicopter and land. Just appear. Don't bath. He missed it. But the pastor was like, there was traffic. I got here. You didn't get here. Now, I tell you, that is a poorly trained person. And that's the same mindset you should carry whenever you want to come to church. That God has set an appointment with you. You see how he looks stupid to you that this guy missed an appointment with the governor that would have changed his life. But it looks normal to you that you missed church. Again, it shows how you value God and his things. It looks normal to you that you miss church or you come in church anytime you want. But if they say governor, they say, governor, I have to be here early. It's a sign of honor that when church is open and you are meant to be there, you are there. And you are punctual too. It's one of the marks of a properly trained Christian. That he honors the Lord by being available in his house. Are you following I'm talking about? And that's why, you know, the issues about being to church, coming to church, not coming to church, is really not a question of whether we are following you up or not. It's a question of understanding. Understanding that my coming to church is one of the ways I show that I honor God. And this teaching is so important, especially in this 21st century, where all of us can now follow online. And let me say to you, there are a couple of our people following online in many places, PG Connect, and we celebrate them. Amen. We celebrate them. That's what they're doing. But the reason they follow online is because there is no physical church. Our church, they want to be part of our church family, but our church family is not there. And after what some of them following online are doing now is they are meeting in place, they are coming together in groups to follow so that they can have that feel of fellowship. And that should be celebrated. But then you are in town, you are around, every time you're say, I'm following online. You're following online, you're lying down on your bed sleeping. Say, I'm following online. Under your blanket, I'm following online. I know that there's somebody following the service and under his blanket. As I'm following online. You sleep up small, you're following online. You get up. Get up and sit down. And don't miss church again. Be around is a mark of honor. And that's why you see this thing about coming to church and then they start preaching, they start sleeping. It's also a mark of this honor. And I tell you the truth. You know, 1 Timothy 3 verse 15 says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Verse 15, not 16. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So there is a way to behave when you come to church. And there is a way not to behave. There is a way not to talk. That's a way not to act. And you better respect those things. It shows an honorable person. So a man that honors the Lord knows how to behave when he comes to the house of the Lord. That's the truth. A man that honors the Lord knows how to behave when he comes to the house of the Lord. That's why, for instance, when you come to church, it's a mark of dishonor coming to the Lord on the side of the pastor to allow, I'm giving an example, to allow just anything to go on in the church. For instance, in this church, what should go on in church? The teaching of God's word. Prayer. Abi? Training. Worship. Impartations. Move of the spirit. That's what is allowed in because it's the church. What will be dishonor is, I allow people to come up here and start doing comedy. Now, is something wrong with comedy? No. But something is wrong with comedy in the church. Because that's not the purpose the church was formed. I feel I'm saying now. And like I told you in the first service, wisdom is the understanding of difference. I tell you what that means. Wisdom is the ability to understand difference. To understand, for instance, that everybody is not the same in my life. Every place is not the same. Imagine, now I was giving an example. Some people choose church because church is fun. The church is not a place you go to have fun. It's a place you go to be taught, to grow. And any church that makes any pastor that makes his church a fun-driven church, I tell you, most times they are dishonoring the Lord in that place. Are you following what I'm talking about? I gave an example in the first service. How many of you, if you want to choose a hospital to go to, maybe you are sick, you choose a hospital where there is fun. Say there is fun. So why do you want to go to the hospital and say, man, the groove there is mad. Will you do that? How many of you chose your school because your school has fun? So I want to go to that university and say, when, oh boy, did the groove die? The reason you can't choose a hospital because of groove is because grooving is not the purpose of hospital. Like if you go to hospital because they are grooving, you will die while you are grooving. That same way, you cannot choose a church because they are having fun. That's not the purpose of the church. Because the Lord is in this place when we come. And there's a way we must behave ourselves when we come. That's why even in dancing, you don't dance like you are mad because you are not. You know, all of this, I'll say it on Thursday, all of this, come to church. We cannot go to the club. Let us come to the church and dance in the church. No, sir. Not every kind of dance is allowed in the church. Say, the church is our own club. Please. This place is not your own club. You shouldn't club because you're a believer. But if you so wish to club, go and club, not in church. They carry all the demonic dance steps, all the provocative dance steps, and they bring it to the church in the name of having fun. That's a mark of dishonor to the Lord. Again, I will ask you to imagine that the Lord is sitting down here, like Jesus, flesh and blood. Just play that in your mind. Jesus is sitting here or standing here with the archangels. Angel Michael, Gabriel. And will you do that? You're twerking. He said, but the Bible said we should dance like David danced. Well, I don't know where that is in the Bible. The Bible never said we should dance like David danced. But then, even if you want to dance like David danced, David did not dance your provocative dance step. And let me even remind you, David did not go naked while dancing. You know, I've said that again and again. Go and read your Bible. That's a misconception. He never went naked. David was wearing clothes. He was wearing an ephod. but he was wearing a kingly garment. So when he was dancing, he threw off his kingly garment and became like a commoner. Go read that place. That's why the wife said, you've made yourself like one of the common persons in Israel. So it wasn't that he went naked. So that you don't remove your clothes. Yeah, that's like David danced. I'll bundle you out of this church. That's a mark of dishonor to the Lord. Now, am I against dancing in church? Well, no. But when you, whatever we do in the church should be done in the spirit. And how do you dance in the spirit? Very simply, make sure that you are moving your body. Now, hear this and not miss it. You are moving your body in response to the lyrics of the song we are singing, not just to the melody. So we are singing about how that Jesus paid for our sins, and you are enjoying it, and you are moving your body. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you just come out, you just want to impress. I don't want to dance some kind of things I see on social media. You know, do you know, I said something on Thursday. You see here, if they remove the sound in some church videos and remove the sound in clubs and show you the dances, there is no difference. You will not know which one is church and which one is club because they even look the same way. The same color light in club is in church. They even dress the same way. No difference. For instance, about dressing, it's a mark of dishonor to the Lord to think you can wear anything into the house of God. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Now, you may like this, you may not like it, but it's a dishonorable thing. That is the way to behave. You can't just dress anyhow. You're a young girl, you wear clothes that show your cleavage, clothes that show your labs. You're a young boy, you just open up yourself and your cleavage, you're a big boy. That is honoring the Lord. Do you know, even the people that go naked on the streets, you know them. Even when they want to go home to their parents, most of them dress well. Is that not true? The ones that have become so bold, when they want to go and see their in-law, maybe they want to marry them. How many of you, the first day that go, you are awoke, but when they are going to marry, when they want to go, you want to go and see your husband to be people, you now wear bun shorts. They will pursue you. And rightfully so. They should. Let me tell you what it means. It's not just, it's not my body. Let me tell you what it means to wear bun shorts to go and see your in-laws. It means you don't value them. You have no respect for them. I get what I'm saying. It just shows you don't care. Now, if I were to be your father-in-law or mother-in-law to be, that in-law will not happen. You've just shown that you're a very dishonorable person. Now, if you are going to take that into consideration where you are going to see man, how dare you just dress like that and come to church? To start with, you shouldn't even dress stupidly. But even if you want to now to be stupid in dressing, why carry it into this place? And you go to some churches, they tell you not dress that way, you pick offense. You pick offense, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I said it again, wisdom is the understanding of difference. Wisdom is to understand that there are clothes that should make it to your bedroom, but you never make it to the church. Do you get what I'm talking about? For instance, I gave an example in the first service. When you are married and you are with your husband in the room, you shouldn't wear suit. Discard all those, your Maria Maka. Do you understand? You guys feel I'm not married. Are you following me? Now, at that point, it is proper. Wear it. Wear lo and behold. Verify because you're with your husband alone in the room. Do you understand? That's not the time to not tie and say, I'm standing on a certain platform. That's not the time. Because you are with your husband in the room. Now, at that time, that dressing is not sin. You see what I'm saying now? So actually, technically, no clothes is bad. It's just about where you are wearing it. There are things you can wear in your room and it will stand. There are things you can wear inside your bedroom and it's fine. If you wear nakedness in your bedroom, you are doing well. I get what I'm saying. But then, to not be wise to understand that some things should not go from your bedroom to spa or ShopRite. You can all these shopping malls, you want to cry almost. Look at all those places. People just come out naked. That's a mark of foolishness. It's your body, it's your body. We will still get there to find out that it's not actually your body. Are you getting the point? It's your body. Now, If you don't like what I'm teaching, it's okay. Just don't wait into this church. It's okay not to like it. And let me teach you, don't wait into any church. It's not about the pastor or what the church said. It's about the fact that you are honoring the Lord. That is a mark of dishonor to just walk into church looking carelessly. You see some other people, they come into church, that's when they want to press phone. That's when they want to answer calls. Your phone will ring. You pick it inside church. You have mind though. You are bold. Too bold for your destiny. That is a way to honor. And let me say this to you. For instance, see the church is full. It may be hard for you to misbehave. Where it is easier to misbehave is when it's just a small congregation of 10 people, 13 people. You see people, they may be preaching, they're on their phones. Yeah, it's not about how big we are. I said it in the first, I want to say it again. It is spiritual home training to turn off your phone, at least put it on silence once you enter the church. Basic spiritual home training. In fact, let me add, it is actually home training to turn off your phone whenever you are going to meet any important person in your life. So that you are not talking to your employer and your phone is ringing and saying, excuse me, sir, this call is from home. Let me take it. And most times they will tell you to go out and take it. You have left, though. Like I did an interview, your phone ring. You say, ah, sir, just a minute, let me take it. I say, okay, go and take it outside. You are not coming back. Just basic home training. Are you following what I'm saying now? So when I talk about honor, 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 it's not just about honoring your pastor. This is a way to honor the Lord. But when you come into this place, you recognize that this place is God's house and not just here. You know, I said something on Thursday. I want to say it again. You see, if you go to a church and they said, you're a lady on trouser, and they said that people in this church, we do not allow people to wear trouser. You don't wear your own. Go and remove it. It's just you're honoring that space. That's what I'm start telling them. But the Bible did not say, in John 32 verse 5, did not say, you should not wear it. After all, trousers are women's clothes. They said in this church they don't wear it. So remove it. You know, there are just some things that people do. And we are trying to claim that we are woke, whereas we are very foolish. And I said it on Thursday. You saw that video that was trending, you know, some time ago. Somebody went, they were having a wedding, and the best man to the groom. To start with, I blame that groom. Because if you're going to be my best man in our church, I would have told you what is obtainable in this church. The best man was wearing earring. And the pastor of the church came and said, please remove this, we don't wear this here. Very politely. How many of you saw that video? Very politely. And the guy picked offense and left the church. And started doing video. And say, because people are so religious, because I'm wearing earring, they should remove it. I say, our phone will burn. Now, I'm not saying wearing earring is good, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, respect the protocol in the place. It's a way you honor the Lord. Respect the protocol in the place. Are you following me? This same person will go to, you know, there are places you go to, they'll tell you, you can't dress this way. You can't use your phone, and the person will obey it. But then if it is, you know, in church, he wants to be woke, he wants to be stupid. And I'm saying this to say to you, whenever you walk into God's house, always know that the Lord is in this place. And people say, but the Lord is my father, I can be free with him. Well, even though you are free with your father, that is how free you cannot be with your father. He said, I can be free anyhow with my father. It's actually not true. There are things you cannot say. Waraka kuwagon, just slap hell out of your mouth. That things you cannot say. When you're around your father, you know, that's the way you compel yourself, you carry yourself. Even when, sometimes when you feel you have grown and you start talking in the house, and they will just call your name. Chikotele. Once you just hear, you just know that they're calling you back to order. And that is actually how it is with God. You don't just come in. Now, there is freedom, there is liberty in God's house, but we are not free to be stupid. Freedom without control is bondage in disguise. We are free within the boundaries of the word of God. I get the point. We are free within, for instance here, we rejoice. When we are rejoicing, why do we rejoice and shout? Because the word of God said we should rejoice. So at that point, we are honoring the Lord because we are honoring his word. But if I'm teaching now and you stand up and you are telling somebody, you know, I'm coming here tomorrow, you're a dishonorable person. And I've learned that people who walk in dishonor towards the Lord. Now imagine you dishonor the Lord. You don't take his work or his word seriously. You know, it's actually a sign of unbelief. When you begin to pray tomorrow for answered prayers, you've already dishonored the Lord in your heart. You don't even believe in the person you are praying to. Imagine someone takes church carelessly, talks carelessly about, forget church, Joe. I can do anything I want to do. And he just acts that way. Tomorrow he has a need. He wants pastor to pray for him. The same pastor, the same church you dishonored. If we pray, it may not work. I am just telling you. Because you've not honored the Lord in your heart. It means you're actually in unbelief. I don't even get the point. You've not honored the Lord in your heart. You think we are joking. So I'm going to say to you again, you must have honor for the Lord. And it must manifest in how you honor his heart. You know, I'm just trying to show what I did on Thursday actually. Amen. You must honor the Lord, honor his house. When we gather like this, we've not gathered in vain. We've gathered unto the Lord. Right? And we must recognize that and not take it for granted. Hallelujah. In another way you honor the Lord, for instance, is when we gather, another way you honor the Lord when we gather is in your giving. Right? Your giving. Your giving is a major way you show that you honor the Lord. You know, in Psalm 96 and verse 8. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. What is that glory? It's the word kabod again. It means the honor due unto his name. How do you do that? Bring an offering and come into his courts. In the first service I said this, you can rarely talk about honor without talking about giving. Any kind of honor. For instance, if you want to talk about how you honor the government, because we're going to get there. How you honor elected leaders, you pay your tax. We want to talk about how you honor your parents. One of the ways you honor your parents, we'll discuss that when we get there, is that you give to them. One of the ways you honor your pastor, you give. One of the ways you honor the Lord is the same thing. And so that's why one of the things I practice, that whenever I'm coming to church, I carry my offering. Are you following me? I've gone to meetings, programs where they don't take offering. 4 days, nobody would ask an offering of you. But I tell you, every time I go to meetings like that, I always carry my own offering. When they're done, I'll go and drop it there. Because it's not about the organizers. They don't take offering, does not mean they don't need your money. It just means they don't want to have a conventional time for offering. They want people to give freely from their heart. And many people don't do that. Many people don't. Nobody does that. If we are doing giving now, and we say, we are passing mic around. So people will give more if you give them mic and they come out and say, the family of Mr. David and Mrs., we are supporting with 15,000. But if we say, okay, let us give secretly, people don't want to do that. You know why? They don't understand that their giving is not actually to impress anybody. It's a way you honor the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, it said, honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. Now, that scripture is not to teach or to argue whether first fruit is right or wrong. That scripture just tells you that you must give honorably to the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying now? So you honor the Lord. It's one of the ways you honor the Lord in his church with giving. Now, let's get into today. Again, one of the major ways you honor the Lord, we're talking about honoring the Lord. One of the major ways you honor the Lord is to honor him with your body. With your body, like your physical body. One thing that shows that you have honor for the Lord is what you do with your body. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, let's open that. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Are you getting blessed? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Are you there? I'll wait for you to get it to your Bible. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. If you have it, say, I have it. Do you have it now? He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Verse 20, it says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and the spirit of God. So one of the, give me Amplified Classic, one of the words for that glorified is honor. And Five Classic said, you are bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. So one of the marks of honor for a Christian is what he does with his body. And the context of this study is actually about sexual immorality. That's the context. Because if you go from verse 15, go from 15, from verse 15. Hallelujah. He said, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? What did he say? God forbid. In verse 16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It says what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Whether committed fornication, sinned against his own body. So what is he saying? You are joined to the Lord. Your spirit and God's spirit are one. That way you cannot join that your spirit to just that your body now to every other person. You should only join your body to your wife or your husband and join your spirit to the Lord. Any other thing you do carelessly with that body is dishonorable to the Lord. Do you know why? Because the Lord owns your body. That verse 19 and 20 tells us that our body belongs to God. So listen to this. This body, this your physical body, actually does not belong to you. This body belongs to Jesus because he bought it. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 said, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So your body and your spirit belong to the Lord. So, sir, if my body belongs to the Lord, why come I have the body? You are just using it for now. Actually, that's what the Bible teaches. This, your body belongs to the Lord. He paid for it. It's just like I could pay for a land and ask you to manage it for me for a season. Now, I could say use it for agriculture. I do not expect you to begin to build on that land. Now, if you are building on that land, you are disobeying me. Because that land is not your own. You are just managing it for the meantime. This body belongs to Jesus. Once you are born again, it's not just your spirit that Jesus purchased. He purchased your body too. What that tells is that you cannot just do anything you like with your body. And so this idea of this is my body, I can do anything with it, is actually wrong. It's wrong. Give me New Living Translation of this verse. That's NLT. He said, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And this may be a good time to take me back to indecent dressing. That's why you cannot say, I will dress anyhow. It is my body. It's actually not yours. The day you came into Christ Jesus, this body ceased to be your own. He paid for it. Therefore, you can't just sleep with anybody you like. You can't just dress in. You can't just do anything you want to do with your body. You can't do that anymore. You lost that right. So if I give you my phone, if I buy a phone and say you hold it for 3 days for me, there are things I don't expect you to do with my phone. I gave an example in the first service. If you buy a system of over 800,000 and then you keep it on the table, maybe someone and somebody draws plates on top of it. Now, you might want to kill the person. Maybe you just come and maybe you take your system home and your mom spread something, maybe a kusi or uba on it. You will feel they've dishonored your system. Now, the point is, this body belongs to the Lord and it cannot be used for just anything. The day this truth comes on you, in fact, I said in the first, one of the things this revelation did to me some years ago, is that I saw that I should not allow sickness in my body. So every time I see sickness in my body, I have the right to expel it. Because to start with, this body is not even my own. It belongs to the Lord. So I see sickness as something invading God's property. So with that revelation, I can actually contend against sickness. Because this doesn't belong to me. I agree what I'm talking about. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to God. So whenever there is sickness in my body, I always say, well, Father, someone is invading your property. Are you following what I'm saying now? So it's not just your spirit that belongs to the Lord, even your body. And so you can't just do anything you like. So Paul was teaching them here concerning sexual immorality, telling them, you can't just sleep with anyone you like and claim it doesn't matter. To start with, you don't own the body. I can't give you my cloth to wear and you go and shape it. Huh? That's a whole lot of dishonor. What that tells you, when you have something that is not your own, you manage it with care. So your body is not the type that should be jumping from one bed to another. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives here. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Give me like Message Bible. God lives in me. Message Bible. Now, go to verse 19. Let's read together, everybody. Are you ready? Let's read. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? The place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please? Squandering what God pays such a high price for. You can't live however you please. You can't say, just my life, anybody I want to be with. No, it's no longer just your life. It's not just your body. Now continue. The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. No. Verse 20 now said, God owns the whole world. In other words, God owns the spiritual part of you and the physical part of you. God owns your spirit, your soul, and your body. So let people see God in and through your body. So there is a way you must handle your body. It will be bringing honor to God. There is a way I handle my body and bringing this honor to Him. So Romans 6 verse 12 tells us, let not sin reign in your mortal body. And that's very, very serious. Do not let sin reign. What he's saying is, sometimes you can be tempted to sin, but do not allow sin control and dominate you. Some people allow fornication. Some people allow bitterness. You know, there are people, the major driver driving their life is bitterness. Bitterness chooses their friends. Bitterness chooses their church. Bitterness chooses where they go to. They are so angry. That anger is what determines everything for them. Now, that's a person that has allowed sin to reign in his body. And I tell you, you are dishonoring your body. Or you are throwing the Lord. You are dishonoring the Lord. Some people, anger is what chooses who they talk to. If I'm so angry with them, I can't talk to them anymore. Anger. It's raining. Some people are addicted to substances. That is what is driving their life around. Do not let sin reign in your body. So people see morality driving their life around. They can wake up. You know, somebody, a girl can go from Enugu to Lagos to go and see a boy she has never seen in her life, only on Facebook. Because she wants to have sex with him and collect money. That is allowing sin to drive you. And let me tell you, if you allow sin to drive you, it will drive you crazy. if you allow sin to drive you, it will drive you crazy. It will rough handle you. It will take you to places you will never know you can visit. So, how do you not let sin reign in your mortal body? See verse 13. He said, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself. So, there is a teaching here. Do not yield your members to sin. Yield yourselves unto God. In other words, the substitute for yielding your members to sin is yielding unto God. I give a very big secret. If you are very serious in your walk with God, taking your yielding your members to prayer, to service in church, to Bible study, to evangelism, you will have little or no time to sin. I'm not saying there will be no temptations, but you have little or no time for it. Most times it is because we are not engaging our bodies in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there is so much room for everything. You wake up in the morning, you do the whole day without praying. And you think you will not give your body to sin. You will sin. You give the whole day, you've not studied your Bible, you've not read your Bible once, and you think you will have strength to overcome whatever temptation. You won't. You will keep dishonoring the Lord back to back.
Are you following me this morning?
So, I've seen a secret that when I begin to yield myself to God in prayers, in Bible study, in devotion, and doing the work of God, there is actually little time. Little time to actually sin. Actually. You know, I will show you an example. In 2 Samuel 11, we read about how David went to sleep with Bathsheba. But look at how the Bible introduces that verse. 2 Samuel 11 verse 1. It said, in those days, those were the days when kings go to battle. So David was meant to be in the battle. But he tarried at Jerusalem. He refused to go. And so once he refused to go, all the armies have gone to battle. So he was just less busy. So he came out in the evening and was walking up and down. And he saw Bathsheba's bedroom. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Bathsheba relocated that bedroom to that place that month? No. She has always had that bedroom there. She has always been bathing there. But David has always been too busy to notice it. I get what I'm saying. But when it was time for battle, just loitering up and down, he was able to see. And I've told you, and I've seen it, it's a common thing. When people are less busy, prayer life, you don't have. Study, you come to church when you want, you are more prone to compromise. Check. The times you commit the biggest of sins, that you even disappoint yourself, are those days you are away from church, away from prayer, away from your study life. You shock yourself. Sometimes you finish, you ask yourself, was that you? Was that you? And can I tell you, if you do not take your spiritual life seriously, you are going to shock yourself many times. If you are not yielding to God, you are yielding to unrighteousness. And that's a major of people who dishonor the Lord. And the painful one is people who do these things and they don't mind. They don't care. They just dishonor the Lord with their body. And I'm going to tell you, be an honorable Christian by how you carry and conduct your body. You shouldn't be someone that you can just do anything with your body. After all, it's your body. It's no longer your body. You're just dressing how you like. After all, it's your body. It's no longer your body. It's no longer your body. Are you following me? This is God's body. Do what He wants you to do with it. Are you getting the point? I gave an example with this in first service. You see these seats now. There are many seats like this in the market. Do you understand? But you cannot sit on this seat. He said, will you beat me if I sit here? No, I won't beat you. But you should not. Why shouldn't you? It's not your seat. We bought this one for our pastors. Now, it's just a mark of honor. And that takes me back to how you behave in church too. Now, it doesn't. If you like this seat so much, you can go and buy it and sit on it in your house. But this one is now different. That's how your body is. Before Jesus bought you, you could have done anything with your body. Anybody could have done anything with you and you don't mind. But the day you accepted him and you accepted the price he paid for you, you no longer own yourself. You no longer own yourself. Are you following what I'm saying now? You no longer own yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another way, and I'll close with this, you honor the Lord with your body is to actually serve him with your body. Use your body, your physical body, your strength to serve the Lord. It's a major way to show that you are an honorable person. You know, because this your body does not belong to you, it will make all the sense that you use this body for the reason it was created. Let me ask you a question. You know, we'll be saying Jesus bought your body, Jesus bought your body. You know, nobody actually goes to buy a property for no reason. Right? How many of you buy things you don't need? Some people do anyway. But I don't think God is like you. But at least the day you are buying, at least you thought you needed it, right? People buy what they need. So that if you are buying a phone, I say, why are you buying this phone? You already have a phone. You say, yes, I want to give it to my younger sister. I want to give it. You are buying what you need. Are you following what I'm saying? Why are you buying this land? I want to use it for agriculture. So when God was paying that price for you, he had a purpose. The reason he bought this body is so that you can use this body to serve him. And that's why Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 tells us, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. But I was, use your body to serve the Lord. Use your body to preach the gospel. Use your mouth to preach the gospel. It's one of the ways you honor God with your body. So again, I'm showing you the subject of honor is something you find in gospel. It's not just something we teach. When pastor wants people to respect him, you teach on honor. No, that is honor to the Lord. Before we talk about pastor, anybody. So the man who doesn't use his body to serve God, using his body to do every other thing, is dishonoring the Lord because he's using God's property for a reason it was not bought. So imagine, I give this example, I bought land for agriculture to cultivate maybe palm fruit. And then I say, well, you cultivate it for me. And then if I came back next 2 years, you've built a fine bungalow on it. No matter how fine it is, I'm going to be pissed. That's not why I bought the land. It doesn't matter how beautiful what you're doing with your life is. If you're not using your body to serve the Lord, you're using it for the wrong purpose. So serve God. Serve God. And I read this verse to say to some of us, because many of us here, including myself, we are young. Use the strength of your youth to serve God. Use the strength of your youth, the strength of your body now that you are young, to serve the Lord. Use the strength of your youth. You see, I said it in first service. You see, the things I'm doing for the Lord now, how you see me burning out, know why I'm doing it. I know that in 40, 50, 60 years time, I may not have all this energy. I may not. I preach every day, literally. Sometimes 2-3 times. Some of you in Essex and in IMT, when I'm done preaching at IMT, I come back to church, I counsel people. That's another preaching too. When I'm done, I go back to Essex in the evening to preach. You see, Tuesday, I come here, I counsel people in the evening, I'm doing School of Healing and Answers, I'm teaching too. Now, why do you think I'm doing all of that? Because a time is going to come when I may so much desire, but I won't be able to. He said, while the evil days come not. What he means by the evil days is the days when you are now older. We are no longer as strong as you are now. And old age is a blessing. But you will enjoy your old age more if you made your youthful days count. If you look back when you are 70 and when you are 80, and you know that when you are 20, 30, 40, 50, you are serving the Lord. You are doing as much you can. At least at your old age, you will be so glad. Use this, your body, to honor the Lord. How you do that is that you serve Him. Burn out for Him. Pray for people. Reach out to people. Serve in the church. Serve in the ministry. Serve the Lord with your body. Serve the Lord with all your strength. Serve the Lord with all your might. Now that you have them. And let me say this to you. You say, I'm not yet old. You know, I was saying to the first service jokingly, you are actually getting old fast, but you've not realized. You're getting old, though. You're getting very old. And sometimes you don't know how old you are until I reveal to you that if you are born in 1990, you are 35 years this year. If you are born in 1995, you are 30 years old. I get to the point. Even Gen Z is from what age? 2000. Is it? 97, whatever you say. But if you are born in the year 2000, you are 25 years now. That one is shocking. So you are getting old. All this is, when I grow, you have grown. You are just not realizing. You are seeing the CV yourself. Wake up early. Arise early and be on your way. Use this energy that you have now to serve the Lord. Every day you wake up, you are getting closer to old age and getting closer to your grave. God forbid I will not die young. You will not die young. But I'm saying, even if you are going to live 100 extra years, every day you wake up, then you are now going to live 99 years, 364 days. If you wake up again, 99 years, 363 days. It keeps getting shorter. So when are you going to start using your body to serve the Lord? When are you going to start serving the Lord? You've been postponing, later. I even think it's a dishonorable thing for somebody to say, I'll serve the Lord later. So you use your youthful days when you have energy, when you have strength to club and play around. And when you are now tired, you now say you want to serve the Lord. So how much can you do then? I wear my badge with pride. I'm serving the Lord Jesus. I'm using the best of my days to serve him. And I'm going to challenge you, use the best of your remaining days, no matter your age. Use the best of your remaining days to serve him. Use the best. Serve him with all your might and wear it with pride. Because you know, it's not enough to say, I'm honoring the Lord, our Father who art in heaven, I'm hallowed be your name. It's not enough. Let it show in how you serve with your body. You saw that in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. He said, glorify the Lord in your body. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. Give me message. Glorify the Lord in your body. Message said, God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. Let people see how you carry yourself around the ministry and they are seeing God in your body. Serve the Lord with everything. In case you do not know, you might be a doctor or a lawyer. That's not why God created you. Your purpose in life is not medicine. And you may like this and I'm saying you may not like it. But now I said in the first service, why do you think your purpose is medicine? Where jamb can change your purpose? You know, some people, when they're in SS3, jamb was, medicine was their purpose. By the time you write jamb once, 202. You won't make 202, they will say, you know, it's your first time. That's why it's 202. So write again. You now write again, 183. By the third one, you just want any course, let me just enter. But even if you are studying a course currently that was not your dream, it doesn't mean you failed in your purpose. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to serve him. Because many of you, it will not even be that course you study that you will eventually prosper with. How many of us are working with the course you studied in school? There's just a few of you. Okay. How many of us are not working with our course studied in school? The call is serious people. So, you can't actually say that your purpose in life... Now, do well in your career. The Bible, I've kept talking to you about being an ambidextrous believer. A believer that can do well with the right hand as well with the left hand. He can do well in career, he can do well in business, he can do well in ministry. That's what God wants. But remember that your major purpose on earth is to actually serve the Lord. That's why he redeemed this body. That's why he rescued this body. That's why he left you on earth after you got saved. Because some people think that the reason they got born again is so that they can go to heaven. If going to heaven was all God wanted for you, you would have died the day you got born again so that you could come and go to heaven. He left you on earth here because there is more you have to do for him here. So use this your body to serve the Lord. Use the best of your days of the Lord and own it with pride. I'm so blessed to be a believer and to be serving in the ministry. And I celebrate that with everything in me. I'm not one of those people you can intimidate into feeling bad that he's serving God. Let me tell you why you cannot intimidate me. I'm a pastor. I've counseled people in and out of my office for years. And after counseling many people, I can tell you there is actually nothing out there. You know, when people are not Christians, when they're not serious with God, they live with some kind of pride that if you're not careful, you begin to think they're enjoying life. But it's actually a lie. If you go close, there is so much pain. There is so much things they are not saying. You just see them on Facebook, they are just living their life. Say, we are outside, we are balling. Okay, if you go close. Sometimes, not in their pocket. Sometimes. Sometimes, there is something in the pocket, but there is more inside. Say, how do you know this? I'm a pastor now. They come. You know, there are people you don't lie to. When you see, when they see their doctor, they are most sincere. Doctor, pastors, when they come, they say, pastor. Forget all this. Let me tell you the truth. I'm dying. Many of them. Many will tell you there is no peace. There is no peace. There are days I've not had one naira. But I've had peace. It's only the Lord that can give that kind of peace. And I'm telling you that I've not had one naira. But I'm not happy that I'm broke. But I'm happy I'm serving the Lord. And I know he will not leave me stranded. Because I've been young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg bread. So I'm not bothered. I'm just very excited. I'm serving the Lord with the best of my strength. With my talent, with my energy, with everything that I have. Everything I have now he gave me. The strength he gave me. The voice he gave me. Everything. So use it to serve the Lord. Honor the Lord with this body. It goes beyond just lifting your hands and writing God first on your Facebook profile. honor him. It goes beyond that. God first, God first. God above everything. God over everything. Let it jump from your Facebook profile to reality. Show that you love the Lord. Show that you honor him. When you look around and you see us preaching, you see people singing, you see people serving, you see us carrying church on our head, we are not being foolish. We know he gave us this body and we're using it to serve him. That's why. And today calls for more commitment. If you've never made that commitment to serve the Lord, make it today. If you've done that, renew that commitment to do more and to do better. To serve him with all your strength. And especially, no matter how young you are, this is the best time. Use your strength. The strength of your youth. Remember now the Lord the Creator. Now that you are young. Before the days will come when some things don't make sense again. I will serve the Lord. So that in my older times when I'm 80, 90. Even though at 80, 90 I will still be very strong. I better believe it. I still be pacing around like this. Preaching. But I will not be challenging young people. Say, you know it's always good to say in our own days. It's always sweet, especially when it is true. Because sometimes it's a lie. When it is true, it's in our own days. We'll walk around, we'll preach, and you tell them what you see me doing now, preaching all over the place. I've been doing this for 50 unbroken years. Yeah. I've served the Lord with all my strength. Serve the Lord. Use this body to honor him. This body was not created for you to flex. And God is not against flexing. You should enjoy your life as much as you can. But that's not why this body was created. There is more. Are you following what I'm talking about? There is more. And give your body. Let me remind you finally that everything comes from him. You see your talents, he gave you. Your strength, he gave you. Life, he gave you. All of those he gave you for the purpose of advancing his kingdom and serving his purpose on earth. Hallelujah. So finally, I'll ask you, what are you going to do after this meeting? What more are you going to do? What commitment are you going to make? How are you going to do more to serve the Lord? Some of you that are new to this place, is your first or second time, you know, it's a good time for you to, after this service, pick up your PGTI form. That's our training. That training is 1 hour, just 1 hour from service dismissal. We assign you to a discipler, and the person will teach you. After that training, you begin to serve in, you become fit to serve in this place. That's what you bought. I really want to serve the Lord. That should be your desire in your heart. So that as we go for evangelism, you are getting people saved. You come to church, you are serving in the church. You are just doing so much for the Lord and his King. That's why you are created. Honoring the Lord with your body and with everything that you have. Lift your hands and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. Let's sing that song.
From you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Take 3 minutes. Just talk to the Lord. Whatever you are telling. You want to do much more for him. You are giving yourself to do more. My body is giving for your service. I want to do much more. I'm giving myself to serve you even the more. To serve you even the more. To do all you want me to do. To be all that you want me to be. Woo! Take your time. Pray. Talk to the Lord. This is a service of commitment. You honor the Lord with your body. Some of you need to repent today. If there are things you've been doing to dishonor the Lord and his church, say, Father, today I know better now and I will do better. These kind of teachings do not call for condemnation. It just comes for readjustment. I know better now, Lord. I will do better with your help.
Pray with all your friends. Pray, pray. Come on, add some energy and pray. You have 2 more minutes. Use it and pray. Shambela karande patolia. Oh, rebale kronde shapele krianda basokotoya. Pray and talk to the Lord. What are you going to do from now? This your body belongs to God. What will you do with it? How will you use this body to serve the Lord and advance His kingdom? What will you use this body to do? Oh, yes. I'm giving you time so that you can pray and talk to the Lord. You are worthy of it all. Our service, Jesus.
You are worthy of it all.
For from you are of it.
For from you are
and to you are of it.
And to you
our strength comes from you. Abalanda Rabashana Labatia. One more time. And you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Call him worthy, call him worthy.
You are worthy of it all.
Ah, for from you are of it.
For from you are of it.
And to you are of it.
And to you are of it. You deserve the glory.
All our strength comes from him. And so we use that whole strength to serve him. That's what we'll do. All our strength, the best of our days are from Him. So we'll serve Him much more with those days. So you must live your life. Let your life count for what is better and what is more. Always remember that your service to the Lord is a way you honor Him. Your conduct around His house is a way you honor Him. Your keeping your body right is a way you honor the Lord. So it's really not so much about you and how you feel. It's about the fact that God deserves the honor. And the honor should not just be lip service. Jesus said, he was saying concerning in Malachi, he said, these people, they draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And don't be that kind of person. Who just says, Father, I honor you, I adore you. Let your body honor him too. Let it show in how you live your life for his service and for his work alone. Hallelujah. And before I ask you to sit, I also talked about how that, God just put that in my spirit again to say it again, how that one of the implications of God owning your body is that sicknesses should not live in your body. And I want to say to you, if you are sick in this place, your healing has just come. Every sickness in your body, every case where the devil has invaded your physical body with any form of infirmity, those things are removed now. I say your healing has come now. I say your healing has come now. Those pains are gone from you. Those pains are gone from you. Those pains are gone from you. In the name of Jesus. You know, I see someone actually in the spirit. I don't know what this means. But then, for some reason, you are sick. One of the signs of it is that your hair keeps falling off. Your hair, you can literally pull your hair off. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I don't know what that sickness means or what it represents. But I bring an end to it now. Yeah. That sickness has just come to an end. Yeah. And you will write and testify. Yeah. Because as you leave this place, your body is restored to perfection. Yeah. Your body is restored to perfection. Yeah. What needs to be fixed is fixed now. What needs to be repaired is repaired now. What needs to be created anew is created anew in your body now. We declare total restoration now. In the name of Jesus. You are blessed. Everything that is invading your body, the Son of God, we put an end to them now. Everything invading your body, invading your life, the Son of God, let this revelation of the fact that God owns your body, let it help you. Eject those things out of your body now. Whatever that has possessed your mind that is not of God, your body and the entirety of it belongs to the Lord. Therefore, I give you back your mind. I give you back your mind. I give you back your wholeness in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you are sick in this place, just check your body. Check for any sickness. It has disappeared right now. Do whatever you couldn't do with your body. It has disappeared right now. God has healed you. God has restored you. And you are testifying big. In Jesus' name we pray. Do we want to do a shout in the Holy Ghost this morning? Let's try that again. Do you want to shout in the Holy Ghost this morning? Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this morning? Have your seat.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.